Today we're going to study from the book of Joshua. So if you want to turn to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, I know this is a break from your study in Matthew. And you might be asking, why are we studying from the book of Joshua? Why would we study a book that is written so long ago? And the title of the message today is Hope, Courage, and the Promise of God. So why study Joshua? Well, we'll begin with a story. Linda and I, when winter comes, the days are short and a lot of darkness in the evenings, we always like to try to find a series we can watch on TV late in the evenings. And someone suggested to me the series, the BBC series called Shetland. Has anybody watched Shetland in here? Not yet. Okay. Well, back there's one. Well, I was suggested to watch this. So we watched a first free episode and we were drawn in and thought, yeah, this will be something to watch this winter. And as we began watching Shetland, I told my wife, I said, man, there's a lot of death in this show. And she said, well, that's because it's a murder mystery, and usually in murder mysteries there are deaths, you know. So a lot of deaths in the show Shetland. But the Brits seem to go overboard when it comes to death in their shows, because usually in every one of those shows, there's not a series, every story, there's not just one murder, there's two or three. It's not just like they can't get by with just one. Joshua, interestingly enough, is not a murder mystery, but the book begins with death and ends with death. And it's not just one death. It's not two deaths. It's not three. There's three deaths and the bones of a fourth death. And that man died at the end of Genesis, which interestingly enough means the beginning. But the book of Genesis ends with the death of Joseph. There's just a lot of death there. Let me read you some of these. Why should we study this book of Joshua that ends with death? Well, Joshua 1:1-2 says, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. You go to the end of the book, after these things, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, has died, being 110 years old. Then you read in Joshua 24, and ask for the bones of Joseph, the one who died in Genesis, which the people of Israel brought up from Egypt. They buried them in Shechem. And then you read, and Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. And so by the end of Joshua, all the main players are dead in this book. And you got to ask yourself, is that any way to write a book? You know, you start with death, you end with death. But as you look at the book, you recognize where Joshua is. And you realize that this Joshua points to the second Joshua, or Yeshua, or Jesus, which is a Greek transliteration of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. And we have four gospels about that Joshua, the greater Joshua, which you're all studying one of them. And those gospels, though that Joshua dies, those gospels don't end in death, they end in resurrection. This Joshua points to the greater Joshua, to Jesus Christ, who came to save us from our sins. And Jesus on the road to Emmaus, remember what he told the two disciples? He took them back to the Old Testament. He said everything that Moses and the prophets have written, basically he interpreted to them, were written about me. So we study the first Joshua because he points to the second Joshua. We also study the first Joshua because we learn in the book of Joshua how we are to live as the Lord's people. And just to give you a quick scripture on that, 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now these things happened to the Israelites as an example, but they were written down for our instruction. So the things that happened back then are written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. And what we're going to learn today is this, from this first 9 verses, that knowing that the Lord will never leave you or forsake you transforms the way we live. Knowing that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us fills us with courage and hope for the future, regardless of what we are facing. So today we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the command, the expectation, and the promise of God. And with that, let's read the first 9 verses in the book of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts as I speak this morning. I need his help. We all need his help to hear his words for where we are right now in our lives. So let's pray. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Lord, your word is truth. And Lord, as we face the future and we have unknown issues ahead of us, Lord, as we experience the ups and the downs of life, the discouragements, Lord, I pray that you will speak to us and remind us that you, O Lord, are with us. Among this church right now, there are people who have had joy-filled weeks, and there are those who have weeks that have been filled with sorrow. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to each one. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at the command, the expectation, and the promise of God. So let's look at the command. The command of God to Joshua was, Go into the promised land. Cross over into the promised land. You know the story. After 400 years since God promised Abraham that this would be the land that he was going to give to him, and then 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the time has finally come for the Israelites to enter the promised land. Now God says, I have given you the land. Everywhere you walk, I have given you the land. Arise and go. And you notice past tense. I have given it to you. It's already yours, but you've got to go. You have to go there. And he gives them the exact boundaries of the land. He's going to tell them that no man is going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life, Joshua. And just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. But for you to inherit this land, you must go and you must obey. You must obey my word as well, which is a whole nother message. But you must go. You must cross over. And that's the way it works in our Christian life. God is sovereign in this world. It's a mystery of God's sovereignty and our responsibility, isn't it? They go hand in hand. God sovereignly has given this land, but then he tells them, you must go to inherit the land. For Abraham, he said, go and I will make you a great nation. I'm going to make you a great nation. That's my promise. Now go. For Moses, he said, I'm going to deliver these Israelites, but you must go. And you remember Moses' hesitation, right? Moses, I'm going to do this. You've got to go. I'm going to do mine. You do yours. God's sovereign plan calls for an active response by us, his people. God's sovereign plans involves our active response as his people. Be careful to do, be careful to obey all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Don't let it leave your mouth or your thoughts. Obedience to my word will be the key to your success. God's sovereignty. Our responsibility. There's a mystery how these come together, isn't there? But they're both true. We must hold both together. God's sovereignty does not negate our role in his plans and our call to be obedient to his will. And we see that in the New Testament. Paul's writing, just to give you a couple examples. Paul wrote, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Right? That's the go part, right? That's the obedient part. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will to work, who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You work it out, God's at work in you, both to will and to work. So you and God. God is sovereignly working, so you work. That's Philippians 2, 12 and 13. And then Ephesians 2, 10. You know these words are just reminding us when God calls us to go in his sovereignty, we must obey. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And the next phrase is amazing, which God has prepared beforehand. So for everyone in here, God has prepared good works for us individually and corporately beforehand. Amazing sovereignty of God. But then there's this part that you might walk in them, that you might go walk in them. So God tells the Israelites, go. I've given you the land. Now go. The Christian light is not a passive letting go and letting God. It is trusting God and going. He calls us to actively obey His will that we might walk out His plan. So the first thing He says to the Israelites, and particularly to Joshua, go. I've given you the land to obey. The second thing He says, He gives an expectation. Here's how you're to go. You're to be strong and courageous. Now I'm sure, as we read that, you notice He says it three different times. Now that should be a hint. Because we need to hear that. Joshua needed to hear that. Only be strong and courageous. And at the end of the chapter, the people will tell Joshua, only be strong and courageous. That's what God desires for us to walk. He desires for us to be strong and courageous. Now you remember, Joshua is one of the two spies that went into the land 40 years before, and he was strong and he was not afraid. And Joshua had been called to lead the armies of Israel. He'd battled against the Amalekites. And Joshua was also the assistant of Moses, who went up on the mountain. He'd seen the power of God. Why does he need to be told to be strong and courageous? I mean, he had all this experience. He'd seen God's power. He'd experienced God's work. He'd seen Moses. He was his assistant. Here's the reason why. Because new challenges of obedience always necessitate fresh faith. Have you experienced that in your life? You walk in faith in this area, and then something comes up and you're challenged. You're struggling. You say, can I trust God in this? New challenges of obedience always necessitate fresh faith. And this was a new challenge of obedience. There were many reasons for Joshua to be afraid. Let's look at three of them. First of all is the fear of the unknown. The fear of the unknown. You can say as a church, we thought we had the land. But now, it wasn't God's providential will for that to be. What are we going to do in the future? The fear of the unknown. This chapter begins with these words, Moses, my servant, is dead. And that is a colossal statement. It's not like they needed to be told again. They'd been told in Deuteronomy that Moses was dead. But there was only one Moses. It was Moses, through Moses, that God led Israel out of Egypt. It was Moses that God called up on the mountain to His presence. And when God was going to destroy Israel because of the rebellious and their disobedience, it was Moses who stood in the gap and mediated. God says, look, I'll start all over. I'll destroy this people and I'll start again with you, Moses. And Moses stood in the gap and mediated on behalf of the people. That was Moses. There was no one like Moses. Now, Joshua had fought the Amalekites. He led the battles of the Amalekites. But if you remember that story, too, the battle ebbed and flowed based upon whether Moses' arms were raised or whether they were lowered. Remember that battle? And they got people to hold Moses' arms up because only if Moses' arms were lifted would the battle be won. And it was won, but it was won because Moses' arms were lifted. And now Moses is dead. Here's the summation of Moses' leadership at the end of his life. You find it at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. Listen to this. This is amazing. There was no one like Moses. Here's what Deuteronomy 34 says. There has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Face to face. There's not going to be anybody else seeing the Lord's face to face when they come into the promised land. Moses knew the Lord face to face. None like him for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to the Pharaoh and to all of his servants and to all of his land, and for all the mighty power and the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. There's no one like Moses. And now Moses is dead. Just as they are finally getting ready to enter the promised land, the incomparable Moses has died, but his shadow still looms over this nation. You can imagine. Moses is mentioned 11 times in the first chapter alone. Moses. No one like him. So that was a temptation. Fear of the unknown. There's another temptation. For Joshua, at least. Fear of leading these Israelites. They don't have the best track record, do they? Coming through the wilderness. There are 2 to 3 million men, women, and children that are going to go into the promised land. How do I lead this people? Here's Moses' final assessment of the Israelites. How would you like this if you were Joshua? And God says, you're going to lead this people. Here's Moses' final assessment, which Joshua would have heard, and the people as well. Moses said this, I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Behold, even today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? These are the people he's going to be leading. For I know that after my death, you will surely act corruptly and turn aside from the way that I have commanded you. And in the days to come, evil will befall you, because you will do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger through the works of your hands. Fear of the unknown. Moses is no longer there. Temptation to be fearful because of what he knows about this people. Leading this people is not going to be a picnic going into the promised land. And then there's a third reason to fear. And that is the fear of the clear and present dangers which lie ahead for Joshua and all the people. They're going into an unknown land. In Joshua 3:4, the Lord is going to tell them, you have not been this way before. Now, Joshua had been in parts of the promised land 40 years before. But he says, you as a people have not been this way before. There's no map. There's no timetable. There are no explanations about the plans ahead. There are unknown inhabitants. Joshua had seen the giants in the land before. But that was 40 years ago. Who's a young man? He's an older man now. They have walled city. The Nephilim are there. He has men who can fight and who will fight. And they have won battles before, but he also has a mass of men, mass of women and children and animals. And they'll be traveling through the land with everyone. They're going to be vulnerable. And it's an offensive campaign. And when it comes to battle, you have to be outnumbered, those who are protecting their lands, by 3-1 if you're going to take over land. That's just a principle of war. You better be outnumbered. You better outnumber those you're trying to conquer 3-1. And here they are, women, children, livestock, everything. No walled cities for them. They're going to be out on the open plain to begin with. So, an unknown inhabitants, an unknown land. And then there's one more detail. And you know this if you've read the book of Joshua. There is the thing about this raging river. The Jordan River, it's at flood stage. It's like God has stacked the deck against himself. And they came in at flood stage. And they're on the lower parts of the Jordan River. They could have gone in. God could have led them to the upper regions, which are going to be shallower. But they are in the full flood stage of the lower regions of the Jordan River, 8 to 10 feet deep. Not just in the riverbed is it flooding. It's over the banks and into the trees and the vegetation beyond. Now, we had a flood they call it the flood of the century, until we don't have to another in 10 years later. In 1985, and we had a flood come through our mountains, and it was from mountain to mountain that flood was going through those valleys, and it was raging 70 miles an hour. This wasn't quite that big, but it was large. It floods every harvest season. The Jordan River floods, and there are no boats to take the people across, and there are no engineers. And there is no way to get these people across that river. It's not like today. There's no bridges. They've got to go across on foot. God says, you go over this river and you go into the promised land. And he has not told them yet how they're going to get across. There's lots of reasons to fear when he says, go over this Jordan, you and all the people. And folks, when God tells us to go and God tells us to obey in this life, there are always reasons to fear. There's always temptation not to be strong and courageous. But then we hear these words from the Lord that changes everything. We see it twice in these scriptures. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be frightened, because he knew that's a temptation. It is for us as well. Do not be, he'll go a step further, do not be dismayed. Sovereign Grace Community Church, do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord, the self-existent, eternal God of the universe, the great I Am, the Lord, your God. You see that? The Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. And aren't not those the words that Joshua needed to hear more than anything else? Were they not more important than receiving more information about Canaan? I don't know about you, but for me, when I'm not sure what's out there, I want more information. Help me understand more. Lord, you want me to do this? Help me to see more how this is going to happen. Help me to understand. Would have been nice if God had given Joshua, if God would have given Joshua more information about Canaan, but he doesn't. He needed to hear these words more than a battle plan. Here's how we're going to defeat Canaan. God says, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to take care of them. He doesn't give them any plans. And everyone has a plan. Here's the reality, though, when it comes to plans. Everyone has a plan until the fight starts. I think of the words, Mike Tyson. Some of you older guys remember Mike Tyson. He was knocking everyone out in boxing rounds. And after one round, they came to Mike Tyson and said, Michael, did you have a plan? And his response was, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the nose. And that's the way it is in war. Everybody has a plan until the battle starts. It'd been nice to have a plan, but God didn't give him a plan. And God didn't give him engineers to help him get across the river. There weren't enough resources to get across, but the Lord did give him what he needed more than anything else, which is this, which is what we need. I will never leave you or forsake you. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. For the Lord, your God, is with you. One person said, he who has God and everything has no more than he who has God alone. He who has God and everything has no more than he who has God alone. It is the Lord of the universe who says these words to us. I will never leave you or forsake you. And aren't those the words that give a proper God-centered perspective that we need to face all of life, regardless of what's coming? We can have courage because the Lord is with us. God has redeemed these people out of slavery. He has been with them through the desert. He has led them to the promised land. Can you imagine, after 400 years, when Abram had been in this, he was standing in Canaan when God said, I will give you this land. And then later on, when Abram says, how are you going to give me this land? And he said, I'm going to make you a great nation in this land. And I'm going to make you a great nation. Abraham says, how can this be? Later on, he said, how can this be? I don't even have a son yet, except the son of the slave woman. And that's when God took him out and said, Abraham, I love this. Look at the stars. You see the stars? That's how your offspring are going to be. And then he cut a covenant with him. He said, it's going to be 400 years, but I'm going to bring your people back in this land. And that's what's taking place right here, because God never leaves or forsakes his people. He is a God like no other. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples, in this world you will have troubles. How many can say amen to troubles? And we experience that, right? He said, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart what? I have overcome the world. The Lord, your God, has overcome the world. Our Lord is Lord of all. And I don't know about you, but for me, in times of hope deferred, once again, you're experiencing hope deferred, I need to hear ringing in my ears, I will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. The Lord, your God, is with you. I think about this as we enter the next seasons of life. As a young person, as you move away from your family, you need to hear the Lord, your God, is with you. For us older people, as family is moving away, we need to hear, yes, the Lord, your God, is with you. When facing the diagnosis we never wanted to receive, when we walk in that period of life when that dream that we had has never been fulfilled, when that child has left the faith, some of us experience that, when the culture becomes increasingly secular and we wonder what it's going to be for my children and my grandchildren, we need to hear, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, the Lord your God is with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I think of the book of Hebrews, because in Hebrews the people are losing their homes and they're losing their possessions because they're following the Lord. In the final words of the laments in the Psalms, of which one-third are laments, one-third of the Psalms are laments. And the people cry out and say, Lord, this is going on in our lives. This is what's happening. Lord, how long? Why, O Lord? And then they end, but you, O Lord, are with us. You, O Lord, are the God in whom we trust. That changes everything. Listen, if he's not with us, let's give up. Let's forget it. But he is with his people. He's promised to be with us. A couple of other instances. When you have made a decision and you have no clear, you got to make a decision and there's no clear direction. You ever have that? You're trying to make a decision about your life. It's going to determine your life. It's going to determine the direction of your future. Lord, I don't know what to do. To hear these words from the Lord, I will never leave you or forsake you. Wherever you go. And then finally, as we get older, and we know we must cross over that river of death. And as I get older, I like to think of it as a river. I like, as we studied Joshua, I thought, yep. And the Puritans did this. They'd see the river, right? Between Pilgrim's Progress, he's going to the celestial city, but there's this river he's got to cross the end. To know at the end of our lives that as we get near to that time, when we will pass from this life to the next, that we have the God who said to us, where David wrote, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. That's why. I will never leave you or forsake you. So God says to Joshua, go. Go into the promised land. Go forward into the unknown. Go forward looking at the obstacles in front of you. Be strong and courageous, Joshua, as you go. Don't just go, but be filled with faith and hope as you go. Don't look out there. I mean, you do have to look out there. We've got to walk as realists. But when you look out there, know this, that you're not going out there alone. That's what our challenge at times is, isn't it? We think about the future. We speculate in all this. We speculate about all the circumstances and situations that might occur. 80% of the negative ones never occur, but we think about all these things that might occur, but then we forget. And we need to remember these words. But he'll be with me. Listen, I don't know what a year brings for our church. I don't know what a year brings for your church, but there's one thing we can be guaranteed of, that a year from now, the Lord will be with his people. That's what he promises. He says it this way, another way in the New Testament, where two or three are gathered in my name, what? There I am. I'm with them in their midst. And folks, he's bringing us to a place one day where we'll always be with him. That's what Jesus prayed in the high priestly prayer. He said, Lord, I desire, Lord, that they may be with me where I am. I'll be with you, and someday you'll be with me forever. What a God we serve, huh? This is the Lord who cares about his people and walks with us. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So how can I be sure that God will never leave me or forsake me? Well, first of all, you can be sure because God's words never fall. That's the title of our series from Joshua. God's words never fall. It's been 400 years, and God's words do not fail. They are going into the promised land. It's been millennia, and the Lord says, there's one coming, and you will bruise his heel, and he will crush your head. And Jesus Christ came, the second one, Joshua came. How can we be sure that he is with us and he will never forsake us? Because as you understood when you studied the first chapter of Matthew, his name was Yeshua, Joshua, meaning God saves. He's actively involved to save us. And then the next verse quoted is from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. And you will call his name what? Emmanuel. And Matthew says that means what? God with us. You've already seen that in Matthew. And you know what you're going to see at the end of the Matthew? You're going to see, you know these words as well. You're going to find at the end of the Matthew, God is going to say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what? And behold, how does Matthew end? I am with you always. Isn't that great news? It's not just Joshua, it's us. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. And at the end of the age, It ain't going to be me with you. I will be with you, but you're going to be with me. That's the God we serve. He doesn't lead us from a distance. He comes and dwells among his people. He cares for us. Moses heard the words, I will be with you, when God called him to deliver Israel from Egypt. Joshua heard the same promise when he entered the promised land. And Jesus gives us the same promise as we go and walk as his disciples in this world. I will be with you until the end of the age. So this morning as we close, we're going to close with a song. We'll have the worship team come up. If you desire prayer for fresh faith, you just say, you know, the things that I'm experiencing right now, I need fresh faith and hope and courage. I need to be made aware again in my life that God is with me. And we want to tell you God is with us, but listen, it comes down to our personal lives. God is with me. I need fresh assurance. God is with me. If you find yourself confronted with an unknown that tempts you to fear, we'd like to pray for you. The guys here would love to pray for you. If you need fresh courage and hope in your Christian walk, and if you've been struggling with an area of sin, and you'd say, does God still care for me? He's promised I'll never leave you or forsake you. He wants to meet you. So as we close, God wants to say to each of us, go, obey, but do it not being afraid and being full of courage, because I will never leave you or forsake you. The Lord your God is with you and will be with you forever. So let's close in song. Let's pray, and may the Lord meet us.